Welcome back to Squawk 1200. I'm Afterburner Al. Joining me right now is John Murdoch and Tara Zeck, both from NATCA, National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
Correct.
I always head for the association first, but it's really the other way around. But I'm glad to have you here. And we're talking about things you shouldn't hear on the radio. I'm all over the place. I had a lot of responsibility. Things heard on the radio that should make your ears perk up. Now, I want to ask you first, before we dive into the meat of this, Live ATC and some of these other third-party air traffic control traffic live tracking, and a lot of people are listening. So a lot of your conversations are out there, and help, hurt, a little bit of both?
I don't know. I don't know that it's hurt. It probably helps. I think it gets some information out there and some awareness to folks that might have not had prior awareness to some things. So I don't think it's hurt, but maybe helped a little bit.
Mm. Yeah. So what are some of the things that our ears should perk up about?
Well, so I think it's important. So we have functions that are, provided. We provide mandatory services, and we call them traffic alerts and safety advisories. Our safety advisories are super important, and it's going to sound like either like traffic alert or low altitude. And I think if you hear any of those terms, you really need to start looking out the window or looking where you're at, get some spatial orientation and saying, hey, what's going on here? And we're going to reach out. We're going to call you by your call sign. But when somebody hears that, be really keened in what's going on and what's happening in the environment, because something, in our opinion, is not good.
This is kind of like if you don't have TCAS, this is your only TCAS, really.
Yeah, this is our last minute call to you that something looks intimate and we want to rectify the situation as soon as possible.
You agree, Tara?
Yes, I agree. I work a lot of general aviation, so for us, traffic. As soon as you hear the word traffic, everybody needs to start listening.
Okay.
So.
Your ears should definitely perk up, and everybody should remember what the FAA's top level traffic separation policy, see and avoid.
Correct. Yep. keep those eyes out the window and avoid what's going on. And if we say traffic alert and your call sign's there, get ready to do an immediate maneuver, because that's what's coming out of our mouth next. That we want you to turn left, right, or climb or descend, because there's something out there we think you're going to bump, and we don't want that to happen.
You all are very special people because you've been trained to create a 3D picture in your head of what's going on. What are some techniques that pilots can do to also kind of emulate that a little bit?
Well, I think that if you stay engaged, what's going on the radio, don't just listen to your stuff. Listen to everything that may be in and around you, and it'll provide a little awareness, right? You might not be the only aircraft out there doing just some VFR maneuvers or practicing out there. We often have aircraft out doing survey work. And just being aware where that aircraft is and where you are in relation to those other aircraft, I think that can start painting a better, clearer picture for you out there.
So in the aircraft that I fly, we do have TCAS with resolution advisor, which means that the airplane tells us which way to go and everything else. And so the first thing we get is a traffic alert, a lot like what you're saying. And so our job is we have one hand goes back into the thrust levers. We're getting ready. If we get the red, which is the resolution advisory, we are to disengage all of our automation and follow our instrument. And we follow it until the airplane tells us to stop following it. Now, with someone who doesn't have TCAS and they get a traffic alert from you all, it's kind of a little bit the opposite. You need to follow what you're doing until you can tell them you're clear.
Yeah, absolutely right. If you don't have TCAS assisted separation in this instance, whatever we tell you, do it and do it quick. Now, if we're telling you to do something and then your TCAS chimes up and tells you to do something different, do what the TCAS says. We expect that, and that's what the regulation says. So do that, and then once you're done to maneuver and we can recover, we're going to issue a control instruction to get you back on course and which way you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a famous incident over Switzerland where a DHL aircraft and I believe it's a Tupolev, they collided because the Tupolev continued to follow the controller's instructions and didn't follow their TCAS. And so therefore, even though the DHL aircraft was following a TCAS, it ended badly for everyone, unfortunately. But that's follow the standards and the training, and you'll have a really good chance of coming out of that.
Absolutely. And you know, I think it's important to remember when we're providing radar advisories and radar services to the aircraft, everything that we see has already happened. It's done. It's history. So not that we're real far behind, but we're a little bit behind what's actually happening. So that's sometimes you can get that confliction there.
That's a really good point. And the fact is, it's kind of like the weather radar that we have access to. It's up to 5 to 15 minutes old. And so it's a nice strategic strategic information. It's not real time.
Absolutely. Yep. Our weather, too, is a little bit behind. Sometimes it's close to update to be and update it, but it might have been, already been there and done that type thing.
What are some other things we should perk up about?
I think crew resource management. I think utilizing, if you're not flying alone, utilizing your other passengers and having them observe and look and listen into the radio with you.
Go ahead.
And to piggyback off Tara, she brings up a really good thing. That when we start asking questions, and because we're really good at what goes on normally. Now, we're not in charge of the aircraft, and we don't make the best decisions. In fact, we don't necessarily have the best decision-making for you, and I think the general aviation community relies on us to tell them no when we're not going to ever say no. So when a controller reach out and ask questions like, are you sure you really want to go that way? Or do you want to go a little farther left or right around that weather? Those kind of things, that's us, our hair starting to stand up on our arms, and we're like, hey, we're trying to convey a message to you. We're like, hey, this doesn't feel right to us. So maybe we have that conversation and take those questions real seriously, that maybe it doesn't feel good to us. So maybe it shouldn't feel good to you.
I show you not heading toward name that fix.
Yeah, right.
How's it going up there?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we want to, that's why we ask questions, right? And ultimately the pilot is in charge, right? The pilot in command is the ultimate authority, and we're there to provide a service for you. So we're not going to tell you no unless we have the absolute authority to say no to something. And that's not too often we actually have that.
I tell you what, even in the most heated arrivals into large airports, controllers, they sound frazzled, but they're still trying to be as helpful as possible. And I think that's a testament to the professionalism that I hear every day when I'm out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. There are times where we're busy and we're trying to get things done just like anything else. And we all know the planes don't stop flying. So we're trying to keep up and get those clearances out and get people moving left, right, up and down as quick as possible, as safely as possible.
One way that you know that your controller is working hard for you is while they're talking and you hear them tap, 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 tap,
yeah,
on
you hear the keyboard.
On the keyboard.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah. Or if you just, it's talking, I hear something talking, I hear something talking. Mm-hmm. We're busy. We're real busy.
One other way your ears should perk up is if your controller is talking to you and you hear a bunch of people yak, yak, yak in the background, you know it's busy out there, and you better, it's help them out a little bit and be crisp with your headings and altitudes and airspeeds and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps us out. If you're on your game and we're on our game, it helps us out and we help you out.
It's the same. I think about this all the time, especially when I've had students who are going into a tower controlled airport the first time, or we're just going into any sort of dynamic area that's the dynamic, meaning lots of traffic. You need to really be drawing that picture in your head, as you mentioned earlier, just listening to the other traffic and painting the picture. Where are all these other people coming from? And if you anticipate a little bit more some of the traffic you might conflict with, you're already on the same level as the controller and may be able to head off a possible collision or a safety, thinning down the safety margin a little bit.
Yeah, the margin of safety. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, if you think about what we're doing at those airports, the arrival runway, which means we're probably departing that runway. So, try not to intermingle where all the traffic is. Go somewhere where it's not. Make your life and our life a lot easier.
You can almost pick out which airplane you might be in conflict with, even if it's just that they're going to point out, be ready for a Premier jet coming off the runway your direction, or you're going to be behind this one. So you're definitely going to be looking for 1, 2, 3, or 4, however far behind you are. And that way you can be, you're painting your own picture earlier than you think, and then you'll have time for other things.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And, the more a picture you have, I think the better off you are, a little bit more aware. and just remember your airspace, right? And what services we're going to provide in those different classes of airspace, because it is big time. It's different.
Not just airspace, though. Because you mentioned you going into airports for the first time. Mm-hmm. Taking the time to learn that airport layout.
Briefing
and being prepared for when you land, where you're supposed to be exiting.
Right.
That's very important.
Professional pilots like myself, we have to do it too. We don't just have all of the airports like a database like Jeppesen. We have to brief. And if we're not familiar, we take a little bit extra time to look through all the things, any sort of notes about that airport. You land and you don't know the taxiway is closed, or the you remember from 25 years ago and they've removed that runway or it's now a taxiway. That's pretty bad. So last chance of the last few seconds, get out your pet peeve that you want to... You got one? I would try to make you the enemy here, but
I can tell you something that'll help me out. It's the long check-ons when you're looking for a flight following, or if you're VFR looking to go IFR, and you're just giving me too much information. Mm-hmm. Just give me a location, call sign, and that you have a request. We'll get back to you. I don't need to know the War and Peace version of what's going on.
I would say for me, NOTAMs. Pilots not knowing the NOTAMs.
Thank you very much, John Murdoch. Tara is going to stick around for another segment, and we're going to talk about Cleared for the Option. You're listening to EAA Radio.